We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We were up to the third chapter, the 13th Mishnah. And Rabbi Akiva had instructed that Schok v'kalut rosh margilin nerva, when a person is lightheaded, when a person is joking, so then that could easily lead to promiscuity. Ma'asrot siag l'osher, the tithing is going to be a fence to protect one's wealth. Ma'asoret siag l'torah. We learned, Rabbi Akiva said, that ensuring that you know the tradition of the wording of the Torah, these words are written complete, these words are written missing a letter. So that's part of the fence that ensures that we have the written law, the Torah Shebichtav, shouldn't get forgotten. Nidarim siag laprishut. And what we were in the middle of was the discussion of vows being a fence for parishut, for a person who's going to be careful not to indulge unnecessarily in the pleasures of this world. And that's where we left off. We were in the middle of that. And after we had discussed that a person has to work on himself, not to run after every permissible pleasure, so he continues and says, "Aval en roi la'anig et atzmo bandarim." But a person shouldn't be accustomed to taking on vows. There are circumstances where a person sees his desires going to get the better of him. So if he's one of those people who a vow will keep him in line, there are instances where he could take a vow to keep himself in line. For most people taking, nowadays, in the days of Chazal, So there were people who took vows very seriously. They wouldn't transgress a vow. If they took on a vow, that was a sure way to ensure they wouldn't transgress. So if Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night, and Boaz is already an old man, but he's alone, his wife has passed away, and suddenly he sees a young lady, Ruth, that lying next to him, and she says, I came here because I'm supposed to be your wife, and he sees that he might do something he'll regret for the rest of his life, so he takes a vow. But that's Boaz. Boaz knows that if he takes a vow, there's no way he's going to do it. Boaz sees that his desire is getting the better of him. So he says, I swear by Hashem, nothing's happening tonight. We're going to court tomorrow morning, and we're going to figure out what the right thing is to do. And if it's correct, I'll marry you the way Jewish people get married. But Boaz knew that if he takes a vow, there's no way he transgresses it. There are many people, I would think today it's probably most people, that they don't take the vow that seriously. So you ask an average person, is it more severe to have transgressed Boaz with Ruth or to transgress the vow? So people wouldn't even be sure. They don't realize the gravity of a vow. Now, the idea of a vow is, I'm saying, by God's honor, I'm going to keep what I just said. So if people really think about that, I just put God's honor into the picture. And our sages say that nidarim are so severe, we don't estimate the severity. The Talmud says there was a woman who had coins. And as she was baking, she bent over. She was watching over coins for someone for free. She was a shomer chinam. And she was baking bread, I guess, that she sold to someone else. And as she was baking, she leaned over and the coins fell into the dough without her noticing. And then she made the bread and she sold the bread. And then the guy came to get his coins back and she checked and the coins were gone. So she had to take a vow that she did not derive any benefit from those coins. So she said, in all honesty, I have no idea where those coins are and I did not derive any benefit from it. And she took a vow to that effect. The only thing is, she did benefit the volume of those coins she did not need to fill with dough. It says she lost her children. Her children died. The Talmud says that. I'm just saying we have to understand the severity. Our sages say Hashem takes us to task. He says, you put my honor into it, so I'll take you to task.
But Yehuda and I learned in the Gershon Mazel Gemara class that, first of all, yes, Shavua,
wow,
right? That's similar.
Shavua and Neder, either one, yeah.
Somebody takes that so seriously that someone who may steal wouldn't do that. So yeah.
Right.
So that part I get. But if you believe sincerely that you didn't do it, if somebody is so afraid like that, then it discourages you
because of one of the consequences, or giving loans, one of the consequences, you may have to take the Shavua. If somebody really, the system's designed, as they say, to live by, and we want to encourage people to do it, so there are times it's appropriate to take it out. And if one, I mean, we hear about people who are so sad that they don't know, they'd rather pay. But that's kind of the exception, wouldn't it be? You know what I'm saying? A woman like that to be held against something that she had no idea. I mean, you could say, if you want to make a scenario, whoever opened that loaf of bread benefited greatly, you know? And it was Hashem's doing. It's a harsh, harsh thing. Because what's the moral of that story? Don't take vows, period. So then if you say don't take vows, period, then don't be a shomer enough. Don't get yourself in that situation. But we want people to love their neighbors themselves and to do that kind of stuff, I think.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. I hear you. I hear. I don't know. I have to think about it. I don't know. אך מי שמושל ברוחו ויכול להשיג את מידת הפרישות בלא נדר, אין לו לידור. But a person who could take control of himself, and we said in our generation, probably even if you can't control yourself, the vow isn't what's going to help you do it. But when a person can do it without a vow, then for sure he shouldn't vow. Kedamlinam, the Jerusalem Talmud says that a person who became a Nazir, he took upon himself to separate himself from wine. So he has to bring a chata sacrifice. The Jerusalem Talmud says, לא דייך במה שאסרה תורה, אלא שאתה אוסר עצמך, אתה מותר? What the Torah prohibited isn't enough? 613 commandments isn't enough? You have to add prohibitions? So the Talmud doesn't look fondly upon people who add prohibitions upon themselves. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have self-control, but there's a difference between having self-control and taking a vow, and suddenly I have a new prohibition. אבל ודאי אם ראה אדם שיצרו מתגבר עליו צריך להרבות סייג מרובה,
But undoubtedly, when a person sees his desire is getting the better of him, so then he does have to create a fence. I heard a phenomenal line last night, which really, it struck me how I never thought of this. I'm listening to a book on tape, Brian Tracy on time management. It's a really good book. Really, I've learned a lot from it. So one of the things he says there is when you have to estimate time, add 30% to the time you estimate. Any task you have to do, add 30% to the time you think you need in order to accomplish that task. And then you'll get it done in time. So it struck me because there are so many times that I try to get something done in time, and I'm there by a hair width. And why didn't I ever think maybe I should just add 30% to the time I estimate? Never thought of that. Well, that's our Mishnah here, the idea of creating fences. When you see something is tough, create a fence. Protect yourself. Take a precautionary measure. So, I'm saying these are not obvious things. Sometimes most people spend their whole life in the same cycle, making the same mistakes. Well, if we see we have a weak point, then the intelligent thing is to figure out what's my fence. Years ago, a guy asked me, he said he always finds himself showing up late to shul and leaving early from shul. And he always has a good reason. There's always this mitzvah and that mitzvah, but deep down inside, he feels like it's all excuses. Because it can't be that every day he has a different reason why he has to be late and other people make it on time. And it can't be that every day he has a different reason why he has to leave early and other people don't. So I told him, if you can think, and this is, to my mind, one of the great benefits of the 12-step method, think to yourself that your challenge this year, your focus is, I will be on time and I won't leave early. And that becomes an end. A goal, and then it outweighs other goals. People very often are frustrated because they don't accomplish in their learning, And one of the great reasons why people don't accomplish is because they don't have consistency. Consistency in their schedule, consistency in their learning. But today this interests me, and tomorrow that interests me. One of the keys to success is maintain that consistency. But I went to sleep last night. I went to sleep very late. I was at a wedding. I only got to bed at 2. The baby kept me up all night. This morning there was traffic. I can't focus. I didn't have my cup of coffee. I couldn't even shower this morning. We have a million excuses why today I can't stick to my schedule. And if we leave that as a goal, let me try. That's my goal. I'm going to work on that point. Then we learn to acquire that trait. Our Mishnah is the focus of siyag. Let's create fences. I see I have to develop a trait. I see I have a weakness. Let me focus. Number one, let me realize I have to work on this. Number two, let me create a fence. That fence can sometimes be that I give a greater importance to this goal. You'll ask me technically, do I have a good halachic reason to leave shul early today? Halachically, you have a good excuse today. But if you're working on that point, then it has new gravity. You say, no, there's a reason why I have to stay. And that reason is because, aside from the halacha, I have to work on getting that down pat myself. I told students here sometimes, stick to a path for 2 years. Just because you have to get used to sticking to something for 2 years. There has to be that consistency, and that's a goal. You'll say, is learning at this institution or that institution right for me for 2 years? It's right for me to have that consistency. So we all have to, when we think the Mishnah is telling us to make fences, how do I make fences? Number one, I find my weakness, which is hard. Very often we can point fingers. Like I'm telling you on time management, it never dawned on me this idea. Why is it that I'm so bad at figuring out how much time a task will take me. And only last night, listening to this book, did I realize, well, I'm always trying to factor on the minute. I should try to factor another 30%. Well, there are a million things I want to accomplish in a day. There's a reason I try to get it down to the minute. Okay, it's not worth it. Let's get it right. So I'm saying it's a hard task. In my 37 years on this planet, I never realized this point till last night. Okay, fine. So the book helped me. I realize now, okay, implementation is another thing, right? But step one is define it. Step two is create that fence. The Mishnah says we create fences for ourselves. And that the Mishnah is saying a specific fence for specific people. And again, for us, this is probably not relevant. If a person wants to take control of himself, so then he can create a fence as much as he needs to take control. V'kevan shenichbash. I'll tell you a story, true story. There was a guy who told me that everything he tells his wife, she tells her parents. He can't have a single thing that's personal between them. So I said to him, why don't you ask her? I said, on Shabbos, she's not on the phone. So number one, you can have secrets on Shabbos. Tell her, you know, it's Friday night. I want to share with you a secret. Just please don't tell your parents till Matzei Shabbos. Now, between you and me, she can't tell her parents till Matzei Shabbos. There's no telephone till Matzei Shabbos. But the idea, hey, I have a secret with him till Matzei Shabbos. You'll have created something. If it's just an outcome of the fact that she can't call, okay, it's an outcome. But if you create the secret, now you've developed your relationship because it's a conscious decision. I won't call till Matzei Shabbos, not only because of Shabbos. I have a secret with my husband. I said, step two, take a day in the middle of the week, take something which is not terrible when she'll tell her parents, and ask her, can you keep the secret for an hour? I'll tell you, and don't tell your parents for 1 hour. In an hour, you'll tell them. You understand? Psychologically, we've created something because now we have something that's only ours. The concept that we have a secret. But you know what? When we hear it about someone else, we understand it. When we think about ourselves, we have a harder time, but that's what we have to discover. Where's our weakness, and how can I evolve? How can I grow within my own weakness?
That's a tricky thing, too. It's a great thing, but when you start doing something, you better know how to say that to your wife. First of all, she better know that it's But, you know, that's right there. It's just like a 30% thing. That's a great thing, but then you need also a plan. Once in a while, I'm really going to do this on time. What's this thing that I've been looking to get to that's not as important that I can use for those days when I have that? Now I've got extra time. Do I take on blah, 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 blah? That's another thing, you know, to fill in the gap. You follow my feet, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you allow for a 3-hour project, you allow 4 hours, let's say, and after 3 hours, you're actually done, and you have that hour, then there's the danger of, I have to fall into that one, taking on something that you think you can do in the hour, and all of a sudden, it's an hour and a half. But it's great. There you go. Right? Idle hands, the devil's workshop. At least we make most people, you gotta fill it up. Okay. Hashem, you know, the old concept of owning your own time and free time is incredible. Slaving to live in these day and age with actually, for everybody to say, have a choice. What to do with your time? It's like amazing.
Yeah. וכיוון שנכבש יצרו, חוזר למידת הבינונית. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, but you have to remember to eventually come back to health, to healthy, balanced lifestyle. The fact that sometimes we take steps to shift, well, that's fine, so long as you remember to come back to balance. I find that our problem is the other way. We think we're cured way before we're cured. People stop taking antibiotics when they shouldn't yet stop. People stop a habit which they've created to overcome their own weaknesses way too early. It's like a doctor when there's a light illness, so then you give a light cure. When it's a heavy illness, you give a heavy cure. You give heavy medication. And then he works his way down to lighter medications. That's why our Mishnah says vows are a fence to take control of our desires. He says there's a difference between a shvua and a neder. A shvua is, I swear I won't eat chocolate for a week. So at the end of the week, your shvua is over. A neder is, chocolate is hereby prohibited on me like a sacrifice. So it's open-ended. So he says that's not a good fence when you say I won't eat chocolate for a week, because at the end of the week you're going to go eat and binge on chocolate, right?
But if you say never, that, you got to know yourself. That might not be too much. They often say I won't lose my temper for an hour, or I won't have a cigarette for, you know, the 5 hours. If you say never, that might be too much for people. You have to know yourself.
It's too long.
Aval nederu, he says, what do I mean when I say a neder? Shomer, a person says, im ochal yoter mize ashiur ad yom ploni, if I eat more than one bar of chocolate between now and the end of the week, yesru kol perot shebaolam ad zman acher sheiktov. Then next week, I'm not allowed to eat anything but bread for the whole week. So you took on a vow. You said, if I eat more than one bar this week, then next week, I'm going to have to eat only bread. That's offense, says Rabbeinu Yonah. When I say offense, I mean something where if you transgress it, you didn't transgress your vow. It's not that you said, like I said before, the bar of chocolate's like a sacrifice to me. No, you might eat more than the bar, but then you're going to suffer the consequence. You created a punishment. So a person can create that fence for themselves, but he says, do it without a vow. He says, at the end of the day, after everything I've said, you want to make that fence? So good, create a system for yourself. And today, that's one of the recommendations they make. They say, reward yourself. If I'm going to not eat a bar of chocolate this week, then next week I'll eat half a bar, whatever. Reward yourself. And he's giving the flip side, create systems with built-in punishments that are livable. They're livable. And with that, a person can take control of themselves. So what we learned today is a person is not supposed to take on vows. When a person sees that he's got a problem, he's losing control of himself, then by taking out a on a vow, he'll get control. He says, I don't mean a vow where you just prohibit it on yourself, but rather you create a system. If I do this, then I'll have to do that. And then he says, he nonetheless, his recommendation is, do it without a vow. Set up the system and do it without a vow. We focused on the idea that step one is recognize what the problem is, which is harder than we realize. Very often that's where it's good to have a coach, a Rebbe, someone who could help us figure out, what's my issue? I see I have a problem. I have a friend who keeps getting fired. Every job he has, he gets fired. And he doesn't realize, I have two friends like this. One in the United States, one here in Israel. As I'm talking, I'm thinking of another guy who has the same issue. And the first guy, it's not identical, the first guy doesn't realize that he's not worth as much as he thinks he is. You know, he always thinks that the company should be paying him more and that he's, you know, so that's... He gets himself fired out of every job. He lasts a few months until he thinks he's really doing great for the company, and then he'll come in and talk to the CEO in a way that he shouldn't be talking, and he gets himself fired. This has been going on for a decade and a half now. And the second guy is always fighting for justice, and wherever he goes, he sees things that are unjust. Here he thinks they should be paying taxes and they're not paying taxes. Here he feels like they should be taking the students and not letting them go out at night because they get drunk. And he'll always fight for justice. But bottom line, he always gets fired. And he doesn't think, hey, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe just because I think that this is just, well, maybe the educators here or the employers here, they know something too. In the name of justice, he fights. Well, he thinks he's doing it for good reasons. At the end of the day, the fact that every place has fired him sort of should give him a wake-up call. But we all have that weakness. Like Brutus says, right? The eye can see not itself, right? We have a hard time seeing ourselves. I'm not sure it's fooling. I think we have a blind spot. A blind spot. I don't think it's that people are fooling themselves. I think we don't see it. It's not that we're fooling ourselves. We really don't see our own weaknesses. And I think both of these guys don't see their weakness.
Because they can rationalize. They could say, yes, I have made this much money for the company. But just because you can do something, just because something is just, doesn't mean it's proven to do it. You know, it's like now. We know that, right? The big people here, the Temple Mount means something to us. But the text say, because we can, we should. There are two sides to that. And if people say, if you're representing our yeshiva or our whatever, and this is going to be your thing, you might get fired. I mean, you know,
I'm saying, but I don't think they see it. I don't think it's that they're fooling themselves. I think they really don't see their weaknesses. And that's where a good friend, a good spouse, a good educator can help a person see this is the weakness. I'm saying all of this advice that we learned in Rabbeinu Yonah is contingent on step one, recognizing where my weak point is.
I agree.
That's